Oh, hey, we are still talking about the Holy Spirit. Does that make you say, oh yeah, or oh no? Oh yeah, oh yeah. Awesome. Last week, we covered a lot of information, and so I realized, first of all, that keeping notes on that the first go-round might have been difficult. So I have a question for you. Would it be helpful, and this goes to the people online too, would it be helpful for me to email that whole list of scriptures? Yep. Yeah, no, unnecessary? Okay. So this is I like to do things weird. If I can get you to say, this is not what you do in church, then I've accomplished my job. So here's another thing. You don't just do this in church. But if you do not get emails from the church and you would like to, there's three columns here. Online, you're going to have to leave a comment and we can send it to you. I'll send you a document with all those scriptures on it. If you don't get emails from the church, you want to, write your name and information on this sheet. There's pens, and so I'm going to trust you guys since all the little kids are gone, the big kids are left, so you'll have to kind of share. So I'll start here. If we have your information, then just make sure you pass it back while I get started. Here's one for this column. If you don't get emails from the church and you'd like to, would you put your information on there? Then we'll put you on the email list and get this information. I'll send it out later this week so you have those. Okay, same thing here. I don't know if anyone, just pass it back if you don't need that. Secondly, we put a slide here. Last month was Pastor Appreciation Month, and Brandy and I just wanted to say thank you for the well wishes, the cards, the gifts, the hugs. I don't know what this thing is doing. Yeah, it is. I moved too much, I guess. We'll do it right there. So we want to say thank you. Thank you so much for your love and encouragement. Thank you for being in this journey with us together. It's kind of the point of all this, right? That we're doing this together. Let's pick up where we left off. That's not gonna. Today, in particular, we're gonna talk about gifts used for ministry. So last week we talked about a lot of the things that the Holy Spirit does. I have them on the wall here. You'll get those on that list. We talked about that last week because we often only focus on spiritual gifts when it comes to the Holy Spirit. And even more so in a lot of our churches, we're more focused on either prophecy or speaking in tongues when it comes to the Holy Spirit. It's become the connotation in the church world, if you will, and which is a disservice to who the Holy Spirit is and what he really does. That's what we talked about last week. We haven't spent a whole Sunday on this, but another place in the Bible that talks about spiritual gifts is Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, okay? Another place, I'm going to put these signs up for you, is 1 Corinthians 12, 28, and then the third place that we've been focusing on is 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10. And so each one of these have a different role. The fourth place where it's talked about is Ephesians 4. So Ephesians 4, guys, this is going to be a lot of information, okay? So we'll try to get through that. Ephesians 4 talks about what we call the offices of the church as called by the Holy Spirit. Romans 12 is the motivational gifts, the gifts which motivate you, where your basic motivation comes from. We had a Sunday, we talked about the manifestation gifts, where they're not there, and then the Holy Spirit has them come, like in a moment, he clothes you with some kind of gift. And then we have the ministry gifts, which we'll talk about today. Okay, so here's what we'll try this. Let me start with Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. So Romans 12, 6 through 8, it gives us a list of motivational gifts, just in review, motivational gifts. It says, the one who exhorts, right? Actually, there's one before that, Linda, if you would. There we go. So in prophecy, to prophesy, you prophesy in proportion to our faith. If you serve as a servant, you serve in your serving. If you teach, then the teacher is the one who teaches, right, with the knowledge that they have. The one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes or gives in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So all I want to say about this right now is I've been studying this for a while. Brandy and I have spent a lot of time talking about this. Some of us have been in a class or two talking about this. And what the Lord has shown us is actually these motivational gifts are given to you by God, and they become part of the identity of how you see the world, right, and where you start. Okay, so we're not going to get into that because it's kind of confusing. It's still not going to work. Okay, so the next thing I'll talk about is the manifestation gift. So in review, right, we've got words or utterances of wisdom, words or utterances of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, prophecy, working of miracles, ability to distinguish between spirits, various kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And then the next piece is, this is what we'll talk about today. These I'm calling, we're often called the ministry gifts. Those are, it says, first, apostles, second, teachers, second, prophets, third, teachers, then, there's a big then miracles, then gifts of healing, then helping, then administrating, then various kinds of tongues. Okay, your head spinning yet? Okay. Let's take a deep breath. Let's just ask the Lord to help us in this. Lord, I pray that we just pause this moment and that you provide us clarity, Lord. I know that there's something you want us to teach us from this information. So, Lord, I pray that your will would be done here and that this would be helpful and not harmful. That we'd bring this back home to a very practical and real level, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would lead and use any word that comes out of my mouth to equip and enable the saints to do ministry. We worship you. We praise you, Jesus. Amen. So before we get into this, let me bring this back home. Let's just say you're newly coming into a church, right? You might have some kind of varying levels of understanding of Jesus, who he is, of God, who created you and the entire world. And this is the church is the people, right? But we've made it an organization, and let me unhook this and rehook it. Maybe that'll help. So we've made it kind of an organization. And that organization exists because it's the house of the church, right? This is the house of the church. You are all the church. We're dependent on you all to be the church. And somewhere along the way, we've gotten this so twisted from what the scriptures originally said, and that was this, that the church wasn't a building with a hired staff member who has to have every gift, who's going to feed you and do tremendous things, entertain you, build you up, give you community. Like, that's not what this is about. My job here is to equip and enable you to do ministry. The ministry is on you. Now, what we can try to do as an organization is how can we help people along their walk with Jesus? So we come here not to be entertained. And sure, we love the fellowship, but ultimately, every week and every time you come in here, we have failed to do our job if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to do the work he's supposed to do in the power of Christ in your life that gets your eyes off all the things of the world, off of YouTube, off of the news, off of your neighborhood, off of your employer, onto all the temporary things, right? The temporary things onto the permanent thing, which is the God of the universe that created you, that's in control. Because nothing seems more important or more profound than what's going on in your life. Not. It's really not that important and not that profound. Right? The older you get, you see how quickly time passes. And not too long ago, my grandparents were on earth in this community and had experiences, and now they're not here anymore. Right? And so me and my parents still are. So it'll be their turn. It'll be my turn. It'll be our kids' turns to move on. And whether our nation exists, like God wasn't founded with America. So let's get all our eyes off of that crap, okay? Because it's what it is, onto God. And my job, watch Jesus. Watch Jesus. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Watch Jesus. Okay? But how do we do this? We don't do this in our own power. And that's what Ephesians 4, let me read this to you. Ephesians 4, verse 11 says, and he, who's he? right? God, Jesus. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. Okay? Asterisks here. Some people would tell you that these roles no longer exist in the church. Okay? I don't think it's true. I don't believe it's true based on what I see. I don't see any biblical evidence for that, but just know some people believe that. Okay. If they're true, then verse 12 must also be true. Verse 12 says the reason why Jesus gave the body of believers this was to equip the saints. That's you guys, any of you who believe. If you're on the fence, it's not you yet. I pray today it will be you. To equip the saints, you, for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Just for today, no. Verse 13, until we attain to the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood. Are we there yet? Have we attained the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God? Are we mature to our manhood or womanhood, right? To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? We're not there, right? Amen. That's right, Joshua. That's right, bud. He's got it. We're not there yet. In our midst, we are desperately in need of these gifts. Until the point in time which Jesus comes back and completes all things. Verse 14 goes on, Ephesians 4:14, so that we may no longer be children, right? And look at the world around you, man. We're such children, right? Like, oh, isn't it? It doesn't matter what side of any argument you are. It's like little kids on both sides, right? Like throwing mud at each other, eating each other's Play-Doh. It's just ridiculous. I mean, you pick something, politics, coronavirus, everything. You're like, really? 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 You feel like a kindergarten teacher sometimes, like, don't hit your neighbor. No, pulling a gun on them doesn't make them see things your way. Stop. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love. So get this, okay, God, we give you this improper belief. Here, stick your hand up with me. God, I give you, and then if you agree with me, you can say this too. Listen to what I say first. If you agree with it, then you say it. God, I give you this improper belief that the loving thing is always the easy thing. Okay? If you're with me, repeat. Okay, God, I give you this ungodly belief that the loving thing is always the easy thing. Sometimes love hurts. If you agree with that, say that. Sometimes love hurts. Okay, cool. Because it's building us up. It's like why I don't have abs, because you start doing sit-ups and not eating bread for 6 years, it hurts. It hurts your soul. It hurts your stomach. But it's good for you, right? Okay, they say, theoretically. But being built up in Christ can kind of hurt. So rather speaking the truth in love, verse 15, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Side note, every one of these scriptures that talk about spiritual gifts, we get excited about because it's mysterious, miraculous. The bookend on that is always love. You notice that? If you've been reading it with me? Like, oh, okay. Miracles, you know, oh, that seems awesome. But not as important as love. What? Love? Crazy, right? But that's the way it works in the kingdom of God. So let me pull that little piece out here. When each part is working properly, understand this. Are you guys okay with the fact that you have some difference of opinions and different gifts and passions? You get okay with it. It's okay with that. Are you okay with it? So even if we don't see eye to eye, right? Even if, like, we don't see eye to eye on the things going on in our world, the Holy Spirit is the glue that holds us together. The Holy Spirit. And accountable, yeah. The Holy Spirit, so when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow, and so it builds itself up in love. So if I'm that new person coming in to the midst, they're going to need us to be operating in our gifts, in our abilities, in our passions. Like, if you're here and you need help, they don't need me as much as they need you. Like, can we be honest? Nothing I said has changed your life if you didn't walk it out when you left here. Whoever it is that's walking this out with you, that's the one to hug and say, thank you, God is using you to change my life. If at most I can plant some sort of seed that you go and water and grow, then I've done a good job. Okay? The body is growing itself up in love, and stop punching your own face. So if that person comes in here, they need this. They need all the gifts. Turn with me, if you will, or you can read it up here. 1 Corinthians 12:27 through 31. This goes with, as they say, kind of the fivefold ministry gifts, right? You've got like apostles and prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. Christ has given the church these jobs. Okay? But based on what it's recorded in the scripture, not every one of you is going to have one of those five jobs. Not every one of you has to. That's why, you see, at the end of it, it said what was more important is love. So if that's not one of your jobs, then maybe in the way in which you love, you become part of that bigger thing. Now, that's Ephesians 4. Now, what I would tell you is in some of these other gifts, I would say in the seven motivational gifts, the ways in which you're created and the way in which you see the world, every one of you would start off in one of these categories. I believe that. I believe every one of you, at times, the Holy Spirit can use. He can manifest in the moment, and something will come. He'll have you speak forth some kind of truth he gave you, or at least pray it forth so that it would come true. He might give you wisdom that's supernaturally derived. He might give you knowledge that you just know something, know it by natural means. Does that make sense? The idea of like ability to distinguish between spirits. You just meet somebody, and what you're seeing in them is more than their flesh. It's something in their spirit, and it's just supernaturally given in that moment. Okay? These things, I pray that God would give to every one of you as you empty yourself and let him fill you with him instead. Okay? And if I'm a new person coming in, or a person you meet out in the community, oh, please, God, give the people around me these gifts. And if you've been a Christian for 70 years, I pray that God would surround you with people with these gifts, because you need it. I need it. Even when they changed my first name to pastor, it didn't stop to me needing this. Also, ministry gifts. This is not exactly the same from my prayer and study as the Ephesians 4, because first of all, it's a different list, right? There's some crossover. But here, listen to what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth about these ministry gifts. Verse 27 through 31. 27 says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So this works for you guys, okay? And God has appointed in the church, sounds a little bit like Ephesians, right? He's appointed in the body of Christ, the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. So he's given those a rank in an order, okay? And so pay attention to that. Let me bring that to your attention. And then it goes on to say this. Then miracles. Wait, like a teacher, someone who could teach me something is more important than someone God can use to grant miracles? It really is. In the slow and steady race of being sanctified and growing in Christ, sometimes good teaching and having someone sent to spread a message is more important than miraculous gifts of healing, or than miracles, than gifts of healing, helping, administrating in various kinds of tongues. And then verse 29, he says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. So do you think he answered that? Does everyone get all those gifts? Does everyone speak all of them? Or get all those gifts? No. So, but if you don't, like, but earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. What was the most excellent, more excellent way? Nice, nice. Love, right? Love. Then it goes to 1 Corinthians 13, which is the Bible verse you had at your wedding, right, about love. Okay, that is the most important thing. Now, Brandy and I, like, we do this together. We talk about this, my wife, and she was sharing with me this exact thing I've been sharing with you. She goes, well, why are we coming together and getting together on Sunday? And she said, you know, I was asking God about it and praying about it, and he just kind of spoke to her about this. And then I was like, wow, I just knew in my spirit that it was right. She was just like, it's what I'm telling you, with all that distraction, we need to turn our eyes back to Jesus. We need to focus. Everything has to be about him. And as the week goes on, it feels like less and less of your world becomes about him. And so there almost needs to be this natural reset and reminder each week. It's kind of like the Israelites. When God did something, they put a bunch of rocks. So every time you and your kids walked by, you're like, Dad, why are those rocks? Oh yeah, I forgot. God's awesome. He opened a body of water so we could walk through. Or this is where he, you know, brought water out of a rock. Or this is where he did this miraculous thing or this miraculous thing. They marked it for reminders. Our reminders is Sunday morning we get together. And some guy gets up and tells you something you've heard 1,000 times before and prays that the Holy Spirit gives it to you in a new way. Okay. Now, that being said, if what you need when you come in here every week is to get your mind back on Christ, to share the mind of Christ, to begin to get your vision back in line with what he's doing, so you can go to this afternoon, tomorrow, turn off the YouTube, and get to some truth instead of just whatever anyone wants to post. Like, if you're going to do that, what can you do for one another? That's the question I have. So, and the most excellent thing you can do is love one another. But let's talk about this, apostles. Now, this is a little bit of a tricky one, because when you think the word apostles, what do you think of? What's that, the 12 apostles? Yeah, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then like Paul being the last one or whatever, right? And in the church, they've created this apostolic age where it was like once all the apostles died, then that age was done and there was no more apostles. The people have kind of created that. Well, asking the Lord about it, yeah, that was like a position and a role, okay? So what does an apostle mean? If these are still existing in the church, see, because we look at this, guys, and the problem with our religion is we're like apostles. No, that was like that job then. We don't got that anymore. Prophets, that's kind of freaky. We don't have that anymore. It makes me uncomfortable. So then we're like, teachers? Oh yeah, we love that. Miracles? No, that's kind of weird. That's doctors and stuff now. It's like, please help them have surgery to get rid of their cancer is what we pray now. Right? So certain things we said, we'll take this. We'll take teachers. Helping? We love that, right? We'll take administrating. We love that. We're comfortable with that. It fits in our box. But like these three, can we just discontinue those? I, for one, can't in good conscience, in my spirit or in my heart or in my mind, tell you that all of these aren't available right here in this room. If God wills. When God wills. To what extent he wills. But I also know these all should be pointing towards the highest way, which is love. Okay. But don't lose track of the proclamation we made that not everything that's loving is painless. I feel like I'm a typically nice guy, but I think as I grow in my role as pastor, I say more difficult things to people than I say kind things to them. But it's loving, and I pray that God would not change my heart from it being a loving thing. So, apostle, the word apostle, let's get away from the religion of it. What it means is a delegate, a messenger, one sent forth with orders. So it's this idea to be sent forth into new frontiers with the gospel, providing leadership over church bodies, maintaining authority over spiritual matters. Really, the word is split into two pieces, and it means, like, you know, one sent from or forth. So do we have those in the church, the body of Christ still, or the people that are sent forth? Who would that be? Missionaries is a great example. There's a term, church planters, which is technically like domestic missionaries, but they do that too, right? I would say that when we pack a Operation Christmas Child box, we're equipping apostles to take this with them. They give them these gifts, and they give them a book to talk about, have you ever considered who created you in the world? That must be God. Going to give us some wisdom about the apostles. But so we see that, okay? So, wow, right? Like Ruth was here, right? Our friend Brittany was here. These people here that have left their home and comfort area to go out and spread the good news. Man, they're sent ones. We need that, right? If there wasn't more people hearing about Jesus, we need that. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would rise up more in this next generation to take this out. Okay, second, prophets. Prophets, once again, we look at that because there was a point in time when the prophets were the men who were the voice of God because none of us could hear from him. The Holy Spirit was with them. God spoke to them. They spoke to the people. Well, this looks different now that every single believer is filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that everyone who receives the Holy Spirit can hear the voice of God, not necessarily audibly. But he speaks to them in their spirit. And so you don't need to go to a building and say, what does God say for my life? Like, he's with you. You are the temple of God. Well, once again, we've taken this word prophet and we've put it in religious terms of the roles. We had judges and kings and prophets. They had roles throughout governance, throughout time, right? We don't have that anymore. Now we have a president of Congress. We don't have the judges or the prophets or that. But, you know, even Paul, when Brandy was studying this too with me, she was sharing, Paul would even go and talk with the prophets. These weren't Elijah and Isaiah. It wasn't that. This was a different group that had, in my opinion, were created in such a way that they were always looking to God in truth. They had a prophet motivational gift. They had a ministry of a prophet to speak forth what God was sharing. They would study and pray and speak truth and please God, fill them when they need to speak truth with a prophetic gift. You see how that worked? They looked at the world this way. This was manifest in them, and they became faithful in speaking the truth of God when he asked them and praying when he told them not to talk about it. And as they were faithful, then God called them into ministries of this. But really, the prophets are the ones who speak forth or openly, a proclaimer of a divine message, to speak forth the message of God to his people. The Greek word here, it has to do with forth, to speak forth, for speaking. Not foretelling, not future telling. They're speaking forth what's revealed to them by God through the Holy Spirit, whether it's about past, present, or future. Do we need those in the body of Christ still? I don't think that a ministry of a prophet, but I do believe at times that God will manifest in me some sort of prophecy that I'm supposed to either pray about. He's revealing to me something that he's concerned with, whether I share it or pray about it, whether I prophesy it or I pray. But that doesn't give me this gift, this ministry to do. It's confusing, I know. Prophets still exist. We need them in our midst. And if that's you, then we need you to learn how to do that, okay? In the proper way. Teachers. Okay, everyone's breathing now. We feel more comfortable. We love this. Teachers, we like. To instruct, to master. It's like to instruct the others in a Bible, in a logical, systematic way as to communicate pertinent information for true understanding and growth. Teachers, right? I mean, I'll tell you what. If you guys do that adult Sunday school class in the morning, you see the teaching ministry that, right, both Rick and Gary have. If you've been in one of Josh's class, you see that teaching ministry that he has. If you've sat with Emily and some of the other people here in the church, they have teaching ministries where God has them study and share this information. It's a gift, and we need that. Okay, then, right, this is the delineation line. Then there's these other things here. Miracles. This would be cool if we really believe this still happened. Right? And it does. But what if we really believed instead of say that we believe and not act like we believe? Because faith is the action of our belief, not the proclamation of what we believe, but the action of what we believe. Miracles. It is what you think it is. It's miraculous power, usually by implication the miracle itself. It's to be enabled by God to perform mighty deeds which witnesses acknowledge to be of supernatural or origin and means. Miracles, do they still exist? Yeah. Gifts of healing. This one, a means of healing, remedy, medicine, given by God. God makes people whole, whether he does healing emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, all of those. He can bring healing, right? When you have surgery on your knee, man, you want the Lord to do that. But if you look at the Bible, we can't get away from the stories of the apostles and the times in which they were unable to pray and healing to happen. It was a lack of faith. And so once we've planted a seed of doubt that miracles and healing don't happen in today's church, we don't even seek them. Does that make sense? And the seed of doubt itself prevents them from happening. And that's why missionaries throughout the world will tell you, I almost like being overseas more because they still believe this stuff happens. And in America, they don't. So instead, we pray like, oh, God, you know, please, you know, I just pray the medicine works. Okay? Please, God, be with the surgeon's hand. Those are fine prayers, but why don't we ever ask God, God, do you want a miraculous healing? And if so, do you want me to pray? And would I have enough faith that it would happen? Start doing that for the person who walks into the church trying to find a way. Administrating. Okay, we're breathing again. We're comfortable with this. We love this. Administrating. Wise counsel, guidance, direct or steer. It's like to steer the body toward the accomplishment of God-given goals. The word actually means to steer, to guide, a helmsman. We need these administrative gifts in the church. And then various kinds of tongues. The tongues word, like I said before, is a it could mean either a language or the actual physical tongue. So it's in this term, I'm assuming based on the connotation of it, it's not different shaped tongues, right? It's actually the languages. And so from the Bible and the scriptures, I won't say that, but from what was recorded in the Bible, we see that these gifts operated in two different ways. One was when a language needed to be spoken by somebody they didn't know. Supernaturally, it was given to them so that the hearers of it could hear the glory of God and the message of the good news. And secondly, it would enable the speaker, when they did not know what to pray in what Paul was calling tongues of angels. So this prayer language where they agreed with the heavenly host about what's going on, and they didn't always know what it is they spoke. So now that I present that to you, let's put that end cap back on this. Verse 29 of that same section of scripture says, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. And I will show you a still more excellent way. And that excellent way was love. Let me see if I can give you a little bit more before I kind of close this out, okay? How's your brains? Is it coming out of your ears yet? We doing okay? Okay. Now, really to talk about, pack this completely, in my opinion, is more of a classroom type of environment than a preaching type of environment. But we can't always get into the classroom together. So I would encourage you to study this more. But what I would love to see, next week what we'll talk about is the order of worship. If I'm going to come to you and say, hey, I'd love to see these gifts at work when they're needed. It's kind of a dangerous thing to say as a pastor, right? Yeah. And our humanity and our flesh get in the way. And so the way that I would want to present it to you is let me let you see me as an example, okay? Now, as I've studied this, what I've known is I've come to see that I'm the one who exhorts. And that's why some of you are like, why do you preach that way? It's because I've learned this. At a base level, the way that I'm put together, some combination with how I was put together in all my experiences throughout my life has made me this person. And God's been in control of it all, right? And so the one who exhorts says this. They're like, it's this act of, not just the encouragement for like everything's great, but encouragement to say, come on, let's go. Well, invite to your side is the idea. Like, look what I found. Let me encourage you to keep going and let's go here together. And it's why I preach the way that I do. It's why I love coaching, but why I'm really not interested in being the CEO of a multinational corporation, because that's not the same thing. That's much more director. Right? And I played that role when I was in banking, and it just wasn't me. I tried to do financial analysis when I was at the bank. I hated that part because me, it's all about the people. As messy as you are, and as messy as I am, and as much as it made my hair fall out, right? Like, for some reason, God's given me some weird love for you guys and a lack of fear of you. However, with that, there's innate problems. I tend to want to people please. Only want to say the nice things, right? Because I have that ungodly belief that loving means good news. No, it doesn't always mean good news. Sometimes it means 100 crunches so you can get your abs going. It hurts. But you got to grow these faith muscles in you. Sometimes I need to call you on things. This is the growth area, but where I start is here. But if you notice this, these seven are Jesus. And if you look at Jesus's life, he was all seven of these things at some point in time. So I want to, at some point in time, resemble these remarks or these actions, right? But it doesn't change who I am at a core level. I'm still an exhorter, okay? But now, how do I get there to act in these other ways? Well, that's where the Holy Spirit has to come in. Because here's the thing. Somebody like me, they're the people that have cults and stuff like that because they can encourage people to do things. They're the ones that sell popsicles to Eskimos, people like me, right? We can abuse this. They're on all one of those commercials trying to sell you something for three easy payments of $29.99, right? These are my people, okay? If they never give this gift back to Jesus that he gave them, they never learn how to walk it out for his kingdom. And they never learn to be more well-rounded. Does that make sense? The same could be said for someone who's a servant. Like, their tendency is just to let everyone run over them, right? The prophet, they're so focused on truth and black and white that they can be harsh at times, right? The teacher, it's like, I don't know, I got to see the information and the facts. They can get so stuck in that. They don't want to be tied down. They hate this sort of thing because it ties them down. They want the options. They want to bridge gaps, you know? Like my friend Josh, when he finds something awesome, he wants you all to know about it. That's him, right? Then you've got leaders, man. Leaders, some of you have a strong leadership gift. You know what your danger is? You will bulldoze people. You'll say, we're taking that hill. By the time you get to the hill, you'll look back, and no one was with you. Mercy. Mercy, they just feel that God has given them a supernatural ability to see and feel for people and care and to be aware of spiritual things. Like, and so if they're not careful, they're going to feel demeaned, and they're going to be like hammered down and shut down. So whatever one of these you start from, first of all, you've got to give that back to Jesus so he can have you do it in his way. And then, like for me, to come in and do the things that I need to do, like, now I might not have the wisdom and knowledge of a teacher, but in the moment, I better pray that the Holy Spirit would fill me with what wisdom and knowledge on how to lead, right? And you can see how that'd be powerful if I had that wisdom and knowledge with the love I have for people instead of like the leader who loves the task, or the teacher who loves the information, if I lead in a task or lead with the information with the love for people, how powerful is that? Right? And then, you know, man, I better have faith, right? Like, I need the Holy Spirit to fill me with faith. And at times, I need to speak forth what God is showing me, to prophesy. You better hope that I do that. All those gifts need that. And as these things happen, okay, open to all of you, then when you're faithful in it, there's a principle throughout the Bible where God gives you something little, and when you're faithful in that, he gives you more. Have you seen that? You start with something small. When you're faithful, God gives you more. And so what happens is, as he's using you for these things, through the lenses that you were created and brought up, then he can invite you into certain ministries. That's what this is. So, you know, I would say with me, he fills me with these things. I think he's called me into a teaching ministry, right, at times, even though I'm not a teacher. I do it a little different. I think at times he's had me have faith to pray and seen him step up in a big way towards healing. You know, administrating, right? Like, I went to school to study business. I learned a lot about this. I've had to use that, you know, some of those other things. And then I would say even more than that for me, because he's asked me to do this with my life, then I think there's a crossover into Ephesians 4 where he's called me to be a shepherd of people. You see how that works? I'll put my wife Brandy on there. I didn't ask you, babe, but I know. So she has a motivational gift of prophet. Like, that truth is so plumb line for her. But I also see God manifest in her tons of utterances of wisdom and knowledge that she shouldn't know for a woman her age and her experience. And to prophesy, like, I've seen God use that in her a lot. Ability to distinguish between spirits, he's used that in her a lot. And I really believe that he has ministries for her involved in that, because she's been faithful in these things. And you know, and I think there's a prophetic type ministry for her. And I think I could do this the same for every one of you, right, that I know. And so I give this to you because I think it's worth prayer, first of all, to understand who we are. If I'm going to come to you and say, hey, guys, will you help me minister to our world? Okay, what do I do? Well, I think first of all, we start with this most excellent thing, which is love. Okay? And the rest of this, the Holy Spirit's going to have to teach you about yourself. But Brandy and I recently read, we had gone through some material, and this guy from, you know, who was born more than 100 years ago, which is just awesome how timeless it is. He goes, Christians hate to look at themselves, but he said, I'm presenting to you that there's probably nothing more important that a Christian can do than to know who they are, for a couple reasons. One, they know where they're weak and where they're susceptible to temptation or destruction. And then they know where they're strong, so they know where they can serve and help. And so this is kind of a journey that we can talk more about over time. All of you that put your email down, I'll give you probably what I would tell you the more important things that you need now from the Holy Spirit, these things that he does, helps, reminds, convicts the world of sin and righteousness, those things. And then I think as you kind of look at yourself, then you're going to kind of see how you're put together. And you're going to learn how to operate, right, in the strengths of your gifts. And then we'll talk about next week how we can come together as a church. Just because you have a prophetic word doesn't mean you stand up and shout it out. It's just not what Paul gave us. So we'll talk about that, okay? And then it'll be really difficult and uncomfortable in coming months, because I'll have to come against the things that you're doing that Paul said not to do. Is that fair? And some people will leave and other people will come, and we'll just keep trying to follow Jesus together. So let me finish this. Maybe. Okay, you can still hear me good. Let me just finish this with, ultimately, as I'm asking God for mission and vision of what it is that we're doing here in this next chapter, it comes down to something Jesus said himself. And this comes from Luke chapter 10, verse 27. It should be familiar to you. What's happening here is, it's in Matthew as well. It's recorded in other gospels. And the idea is, they had the law, right? All these rules. Do this, don't do this. And Jesus came, and he was preaching this whole message about God and the power of the coming kingdom. And they were trying to trap him, and they're like, okay, smart guy, tell me what it is. What do we need to know if we're going to follow God? Like, can you summarize all the laws? What's the most important? And Jesus basically said, you want to know what it is, this is what you need to do. When Jesus said, this is what you need to do, we should all be on the edge of our seats saying, okay. He answered, he being Jesus, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. It seems overly simple, but it really isn't. Whatever the context, how would it look like for you to love God with everything you got? How would you treat the people around you? How would you approach, like, an election week in your country? How would you approach the coronavirus? How would you approach your children or other people's children? How would you approach your community and neighbors? And then it says, and love your neighbor. Okay, we know what that is, right? Who's my neighbor? It's everyone, right? And that takes it deeper. How would you care about the people around you? And then it sneaks in this little thing here, and as yourself. The assumption is that you love yourself, which is a false assumption in our culture for a large group of people. I also think a lot of us don't know who we are. We don't know how powerful it is. It doesn't matter, Paul said, if you can speak in tongues of angels, or if you have all the money to contribute, or you can speak, or you can bring every gift in, if you can do miraculous things, if you could teach like you were Billy Graham, right? If you didn't have a love, you'd just be making noise. And every one of you has love. And that's all like another 17 sermons trying to learn how to love ourselves as God loves us. But we have to sort of put the lenses if we're going to look at these gifts when it comes to love. And so what we can do as God's people is, sure, Holy Spirit, like, please teach us about these gifts and how to use us, how to use this, how you can use us. Because I do think part of the predicament we've got ourselves in is that we've taken off one third of the Trinity in our faith. And taking one third of anything off of any package is like a big shortfall, right? So you and I, the application of God's will and power to us comes through the Holy Spirit. And we've just abandoned that. Or we've come from a place where we've created a whole separate religion just on that one third. And so I'm calling you guys, I'm prophesying to you, flat out, God has told me this, there is a place for both, all three of the Trinity, which is the proper faith we've been called into. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be simple. We are going to mess it up time and time again, but it is an adventure worth going on. But if we're going to step on this, the drink and snacks that we get before we go on this road trip has to be love. Has to be prayer. Has to be humility. Lord, give us humility and give us love. Let us drink that up, you know? Teach us to love ourselves and our neighbor. Teach us not to think too much of ourselves or to do it for our own glory, but to do it for your glory. So I want to pray. I'm going to invite worship team, come on back up. Okay. If you guys would just join me, we're going to pray. And then we're going to sing. Let me try to make it simple. There's a lot of information. Let's bring this back to this. This is not something in this moment I would say that you could unpack all this information I've given you. But I think what you can impact, or what can impact you, what can penetrate, is this truth that all these things I presented to you have been dwarfed, have been minimized, have been microed compared to love. And I know that's, oh, that's like a prosperity. No, that's not what I'm saying. Love doesn't mean that people don't get sick. Love doesn't mean that people don't die. Love doesn't mean that you get everything you want like a spoiled brat. As a matter of fact, the opposite. Love grows you up. Love tells you that life is not fair. Love tells you that just because they stole your candy, you don't get to smack them in the face. And so I just want us to focus on the greatness of God. The greatness of God. And then, once we get that, the fact that he loves you. Lord, we give you everything. We give you these gifts of the Spirit, which are hard to understand. We give you this wrong belief that we have about love, that it's all feel good, touchy-feely. Sometimes love spanks your butt, and sometimes it lifts you up out of the mud. We give you all the concerns that we have about our future, our present, about viruses and sicknesses, about governance, about politics, about health. We give you this pressure to figure it out and to be smart. It's not what this is about. You are smart. We are yours. And Lord, we just sit here and we just bathe in the fact that we only love you because you first loved us. We sit here and we proclaim that you loved us while we were still sinners. And not in like a little love way, but in such a love way that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die for the people that killed him. You knit us together in our womb, and you've given us particular ways to look at the world. Lord, help us with awkward silences, because we need more of them. We empty ourselves, our sin, our fear, our religion to you. I pray, Lord, that as we go into this song, that we would just stand here, that we would just soak in your love. We would know that you have us, that you have this, that you're in control, and that you would fill us, and so much would be overflowing, and then we'd be loving our neighbor without even trying. Fill us, Lord, so greatly and so deeply that we're overflowing with you. That it would just get all over the waitresses at the restaurants they're about to go to, Lord, that your love would just pour out on them. So, Lord, I'm not going to say amen because I don't want this to stop. But I pray over this worship through song and praise through song that you would hear our hearts, Lord. Whether we need to stand with arms lifted up high to give to you, whether we need to sit and be in your presence, I pray that we would do that now in Jesus' name.